advance on our journey, following the Lord, where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when your path grows dim and your questions have no answers, turn to Him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. There are days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall. The cold and stormy winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not know. But when the storm clouds arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of our King, bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of our King, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee.
Thank you. Okay. I think you had the handout sheet there. We are back in the book of Proverbs. We are in lesson, actually, number 36. We've actually been in Proverbs for, I think, since January of last year. We take some time out during different times of the year to go through some other things. Of course, when we get to the summer, in a few weeks, we'll be doing a couple summer series. We'll be doing a series in the family on Sunday night, and then we'll be doing we're going to do a series on Thursday nights during the summer on the Ten Commandments and how they relate to us today. But today we are in the book of Proverbs. We started our look last week at the critical man. or gossip, slander, or someone who is with their words hurting others. The key words in Proverbs, as if you read through the books of Proverbs about this, are scorner, scornful, talebearer, slanderer, whisperer. The point we need to understand as we go forward with this is that there is power in our words. The things we say have consequences. Specifically, when we are purposely using them in a way that hurts others. People hear it, and it causes problems. I read that in 1887, due to a rumor, even though he had been dead 22 years, the government went and dug up the tomb of Abraham Lincoln. A rumor had been floating around that someone had broken into the tomb and stolen the body, so the only way to find out if that's true, they dug up the tomb, they looked at it and said, he's still there, okay? Then, 14 years later, rumors started again. They started spreading nationwide, so to quell the rumors, they had to do it one more time and dig it up, okay? People hear things, and they believe them. You say something about somebody, and that person says somebody else, who tells somebody else, tells that person, and next thing you know, it's gospel, and people believe it. And so we don't want to do that. We said last week that, I think it's on your paper again, just so you reminder, this is only our second week on this, gossip is gossip even if it is true. True. We tell people they don't need to don't need to hear it. We also mentioned that the name Satan literally means accuser. So when we're accusing something, you know how we're acting? We're acting satanic. We're acting like Satan. And I won't have us raise our hands if we've ever done that, but I think we'd be embarrassed if we did. We need to be careful. The name devil means slanderer. We don't want to be like him. A good definition, I think this is on your paper, and then we'll review the three and we'll move on. A good definition of gossip is telling someone who is not part of the problem or a part of the solution to the problem. And that's just it. It's saying something about somebody or to somebody who it has nothing to do with them and they don't need to know. They don't. And it causes problems. We said last week, saying things about another to hurt their character means that you are acting like a fool. Doesn't mean that you're a fool. I think if you were a fool, you probably wouldn't be in church. But it doesn't mean that sometimes, even though we may not be characterized or we may not be a fool, it doesn't mean sometimes we don't step outside of that and we act in foolish manner. And that's what we need to be careful about. Number two, a critic is really a hypocrite who seems to be for you while also seeking to hurt you. And we said number three, never trust a critic to keep something confidential because they can't. I won't even have you raise your hand. But if I were to ask you, have you ever told somebody something and said, now, don't tell anybody. And it came back to bite you because they did tell somebody, right? Okay? Once you throw it out there, you say, well, why wouldn't they listen to me and not tell? Well, you told them. So they figure if you told me and you weren't supposed to tell me, it's okay if I tell somebody else who I'm not to tell. So that is the problem. Now, let's look at the new one. Number four. This sometimes can be motivation. A critic loves to cause problems between people. A critic loves to cause problems between people. Proverbs 16:28 says this, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. See, the last number we had spoke of the manner tale bearing. We tell tales. This one talks about motivation. Sometimes people say things because their motivation is to cause trouble. And to be honest with you, even if their motivation is to cause trouble, it can cause trouble. You need to be very careful about it. And if you know it'll cause trouble and you still say it, then in essence, you are kind of purposely causing trouble. That's not what we want to do. When the word he uses there, a froward man soweth strife, soweth is like planting seeds. He does. A lot of times, it's small little things that are said that plant a seed of doubt about a person in another person's mind, or it sets the wheels in motion and starts something that is going to grow. They're sowing seeds of strife. Every little word against somebody, it's like sowing an evil seed. You know, you plant seeds, and sometimes you don't see the fruit until later on. It takes time for it to grow. Well, it takes time sometimes, but the way we talk can cause great harm to others. I think this is on your paper. The seed that is sown produces fruit. You sow a seed, it's going to produce something. Well, what's it producing? Look there. The seed is strife. The seed is strife. Saying things to somebody else that you know can cause problems for somebody. That's strife. You know that it's not going to help. It's something that possibly can cause two people to have an issue. That's strife. We sow it with our words. A lot of times it's accusations. You know, well, you know, so-and-so, they do this because of this. By the way, I'll just throw this out here, and you can put this in your pocket and take it home later. Too often we say things we think are true that aren't true. Look, it's not my first time around the block. Sometimes people come and say, "We know, so-and-so, you need to check on this. This happened, and blah, 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 and they're doing it for the," and it's not even anything what that person says. We're accusing. If you don't know it's true, don't say it as if it is true. And if you find out something that needs to be dealt with that is true, only say it to the person who needs to know so they can fix it. Not everybody else that has nothing to do with it. That's strife. We accuse too freely. And then we come back later and say, "Oh, well, you know what? My bad. I didn't know that wasn't true. I thought," well, you shouldn't have said anything if you thought. So let's be very careful. Sometimes we make assumptions about things. And so our words sow strife. We're planting the seeds of destruction between people. What's the fruit of sowing strife? Separation. He says, "But a whisperer separateth chief friends." By the way, it can be friends. It can be family. I hope that you would hate to be the cause of trouble between two people because of something you said that wasn't true. The problem with our society is this. We talk too much. We do. We just talk too much. By the way, social media has made it easier to do that. By the way, you can get in trouble with that too, right? We get on your, I don't have a Twitter account, but you get on your Twitter account and you say something, it's like you're causing trouble. You know, you say something on your Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Or you just, listen, we throw stuff out there, and what we're doing is causing issues between people. If it doesn't need to be said, don't say it. It's like a slow, steady growth, but it's taking root. I think of Absalom. What did Absalom do after his issue of killing his brother and the whole thing between with his dad David? They never got that thing settled. And so Absalom had a plan, and for years he sat outside the gate, and when people would come to talk to David, he would pull him aside and say, "Oh, you're going to see my dad. Oh, what's your issue?" And they tell him the issue, and he's like, "Wow, you have a just cause. And it's too bad I'm not the king, because if I was the king, I'd make sure you were taken care of. And my dad's a good guy, but he's just too busy, and he's not going to be able to help you." He did that for years. And what happened? He turned the hearts of the people away from David to him. By the way, be careful for backhanded slaps, right? "Oh, so-and-so, they got a good heart." Now, when they say that, here's what's coming. A slap upside the head, okay? "So-and-so's a good man. You got a good heart, but..." Sowing strife. Got to be very, very careful. We don't want to sow strife, particularly in church. We say things and we have a purpose behind them because we're trying to wreck a relationship, you know. We say something behind their back. I remember when I was in high school, believe it or not, I was actually seeing a girl. Say, you were seeing a girl? She was blind, so that's why she liked me. But I was seeing this girl, and I had a buddy named Matt, and he knew. You know, he was a good friend of mine. And I remember one time we were sitting around, and he just kept telling me things about her. Like, you know, you need to be careful. And then one time he kept planting the little seeds. He said, you know, I saw her the other day, and she said this. And I'm like, I appreciate you telling me, Matt. I'm not even going to talk to her anymore. I said, because, you know, buddies. It's like, I can't believe she's like that. Thank you for letting me know that. Appreciate that. So I quit taking her phone calls. Hard as that was. And she was brokenhearted for the rest of her life. But anyhow, I just quit talking to her. Maybe I was rude. But I just quit talking. So about a month later, we were out on a Friday night. We had nothing to do. It's like, hey, let's go to Matt's house. So we went to Matt's house. And his mom is, hey, how you doing? Where's Matt? He goes, you know, he's out with so-and-so. I'm like, so-and-so? The girl he told me about. Oh. So I said, where'd they go? He said, oh, they went to the skating rink in Paramount. I said, okay. So I went to the skating rink in Paramount. And waited for them. They came outside. There was a couple of us like, hey, Matt, how are you doing? Hey, how are you? He was kind of embarrassed. He was an idiot. Now, the moral of the story is she came back to me because, of course, she realized what a jerk Matt was. But we do those kind of things. We say things, and what we're doing is we're driving a wedge between people. That ought not to be. Let's be very, very, very careful. Why is it so damaging in relationships when we say something about somebody? Here it is right here. People have a tendency to believe what they hear. They just do. You hear something, it's like you automatically believe it. And even if you kind of don't believe it, when you see the person the next time, it's kind of in your mind. And it kind of flavors the way you look at them. We need to be very, very, very careful. Even if something is true that's said about them and they change, the people you told don't see them through the change. They think about what you told them. Somebody does something stupid, it's not horrible. But you know what I'm talking about. And you tell everybody. And that person, listen, we all have made mistakes. And they get that thing corrected and they're fine. But all the people you've polluted make it hard for them. You got to be very, very careful. And by the way, as someone mentioned last week, thank you for helping me when I was teaching last week. It's not a prayer request. Pray for Brother Ross. Pray for Brother Ross, you know. He did this. You thought I was going to say something, didn't you? Number 5. One who gossips is showing that they are not really concerned about what is best for others. One who gossips is showing they are not really concerned about what is best for others. Now, I don't want this verse to be taken out of context here. Let's read it. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a manner separateth very friends. There's that phrase again. Let me say this, though. When he says, he that covereth up a transgression, he's not talking about every sin. If somebody does something horrific, you don't hide that, right? There have been times and situations I've known where even in the ministry, many years, somebody does something, they got fired from their job, or if they were a pastor and they should have been fired, and they go somewhere else, and nobody bothers to tell the other church that, hey, this guy is really disqualified for ministry. He shouldn't be doing it. I'm not talking about that. Okay, if somebody's a serial killer and they come to church, it's not going to like, oh, yeah, hey, sit right here. No, we won't say, you know. We're not talking about covering up sin that should be dealt with. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who, they did something wrong. They sinned. And it's something that they can get forgiven of and move on in their life. If we love that person, not everybody needs to know. By the way, do you want everybody to know your business? Do you wish that everybody in the church knew you like you knew you? they knew everything about your past, they knew every mistake, every sin you ever made, you would be petrified. Okay? That we don't need to know all that. Unless it's something that's going to damage somebody else, if it's not dealt with, that's one thing. That's not what we're talking about. By the way, I've seen people, they leave church because they do something, they feel that everybody in the church is talking about it, and even if they get forgiven and come back, they're going to be looked down upon. Listen, if someone did something and it's not totally out of line and moral, and they're right with God, they're welcome. Let's not rip them apart. The only reason we would do that is because we don't love them and we're seeking to cause trouble. So when I'm critical, and I repeat that, I'm showing a complete lack of love for the person I'm talking about. If I'm telling you everything about a person and everything, I'm reading the roll. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about that person. I don't care about that person. It ought not to be that way. We have two options when it comes to people that have problems. We can cover what they did out of compassion. And again, I've already explained what I mean. You cover it, you know. Someone's struggling with the sin in their life and they get victory over it. Maybe they have a setback. Everybody doesn't need to know that. Help them. Help them to get cleansed and forgiven and on the right path and going forward. Or we can repeat what they did and cause conflict. We must be cautious and careful about our words. In World War II, our government was very concerned that there might be spies in our midst. And so they had a little phrase they told, especially in the military, but in general, and it was, loose lips sink ships. In other words, you don't let everybody know everything because that information might cause somebody to get hurt in a military setting. But the same is true in a spiritual setting. Be very careful. Our words are supposed to be edifying and help build somebody else up. It shouldn't be always tearing them down. By the way, be very careful, and this kind of goes with it, but it doesn't, but it's, I'll throw it in here. Be very careful. If someone who was coming to church, and sometimes they get away from God or they get away from church for a while and they come back, be encouraging. I've talked to enough people like, how you doing? Hey, we missed you. Hope to see you soon. They're like, wow. And they're embarrassed to come back because they haven't been back in a while. And then sure enough, they come back that first time and someone says, where have you been? You're just confirming everything they thought. Listen, hey, how you doing? Glad to have you. How's everything going? Be encouraging. Be positive. We don't need to tear people down. And we do that sometimes unwittingly. But be very careful. That's what gossip does. It hurts the one who spreads it. If someone's sharing gossip, it says a lot about you. And if someone has an ounce of spiritual IQ, they're going to be thinking, hey, makes me doubt this person's character. Makes me doubt their Christianity. By the way, especially around the unsaved, you had better be very, very, very careful where you work. If you work somewhere and they know you're a Christian, and by the way, if you work somewhere, they ought to know you're a Christian. And you're going to work somewhere, and they're all going to have the little gossip pools. Trust me, I've worked, I've been everywhere. This person will talk about that person. When that person leaves, now they're going to talk about the person with the person they were talking about, and they'll talk about the person they were just talking to about that person over there. And if you're confused, so am I. And if you get in the middle of that, you know what it says? Your Christianity's weak. Then you're going to get up and talk to them about Jesus. And they're going to like, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I heard you were saying about Bill and Tom and Larry, whoever. So be very, very careful. It hurts those who spread it, and it hurts those who hear it. You may cause someone else to start to become critical in their life. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to cause them to mentally look at a person a different way than they should because you've poisoned their mind about that person. It hurts the one that you talk about. The sad thing is they can't answer for themselves. They can't. You know, if I go to Brother Schneider and say, did you hear about Brother Bonilla? And there's a lot, I could tell you. He'd be here all day. And I talk about Brother Bonilla, and he's listening. Brother Bonilla doesn't have a chance to defend himself. Oh, you don't need to. He's the silent guy. And so we listen to this person, and listen, that person, you don't, by the way, when people tell you the story, they don't tell you the whole story. They don't. They'll tell you the parts of it that are good for them. So be very careful. Number six, a critical person knows just what to say to hurt others. Now listen to this, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as what? Wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the belly. Think of a sharp cutting pain. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Saying the same thing. When God repeats something twice, it's because he means it. It's like they are so precise in what they say, they know just what to say to do the maximum damage. It's like I've given the story before, but the Bismarck was a German ship that was shot down in World War II. And it was the Germans' top ship. And they had sunk one of the Britain's top ships in like less than 5 minutes, the hood. It just took it out. So they decided, the Allied said, we got to take it out. So they tried to get it, and they had this long chase, and I won't go into it. They made a tactical error, and the Bismarck was going home free. They sent these planes out. They had some World War I planes left, so they sent them out. They were the only planes they had. And they were so low-tech for that day that the German ship couldn't shoot them down. They were equipped to shoot the faster planes. And so one of them dropped a torpedo, and they came back, and it's like, well, we dropped our torpedoes, and nothing worked. But what happened is one of the torpedoes jammed their rudder, and it made it turn. And it came right back to the Allied force when it was just a few miles from freedom, and they were able to tear it down. Now, they did that unknowingly, but unknowingly, they hit that thing precisely where it needed to be to put it in harm's way. Now, people with their words sometimes, they're real precise. They know exactly what to say that can hurt somebody. Now, I will say this. Husbands and wives, you know that. You can do that if we're not careful. You know that one thing to say that sets your spouse off. And whenever you need it, you kind of like, that's kind of like your gun in the drawer, right? You pull it out last minute. Don't use that. Let's be careful that our words don't hurt people. Sometimes we do it directly. Sometimes we directly talk to the person and we say that thing we know will be painful for them. Other times we say it secondhand. And usually when, as I mentioned, when people say things, they tell you a story, they're going to tell you a story in the best possible light that makes them look like the hero and the other person look like they're the bad guy. Reminds me, many years ago we had this family that used to, they lived in Long Beach for a while, they moved away. They were a South African family, and they came, and so we invited them over for dinner one time. And so they were, this was many years ago, and Josiah was very little. And so they were at our house playing, and they had a child Josiah's age, and they were playing over in the room, and there was a little commotion, and they came and had a conflict. And Josiah came over, and he said, here we are having, you know, we're having over the house to have ministry with him, right? And Josiah comes, little boy, and Josiah goes, he hit me. He goes, he hit you, and the family was a little bit embarrassed. They're like, And the boy goes, well, he hit me first. And Josiah said, well, he hit me back. Okay. He didn't tell us that the very first time. He just said the kid hit him. He didn't say he started it. I probably should have figured that one out myself. But people tell stories sometimes. Well, this happened. Listen, you're not getting the whole story. If you really want the whole story, you got to listen to both sides. Listen, people sometimes make things sound better for themselves than it really is. Let's be very careful. Let's not use our words. There's a verse in Proverbs right there, Proverbs 18:21 in your notes. Our words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What you say has the power to help somebody and be healing and be an encouragement, or what you say can be very hurtful and damaging. The choice is up to you. And when you start repeating things to other people, you are hurting them. Be very careful about that. And sometimes it's like, well, you know what? I was just angry. Then go back a few months. We talked about anger for 6 weeks, okay? That's no excuse. And I know sometimes we say things in anger and we shouldn't, but be very careful. Because when you say something, it is very hard to take it back. It's very hard. You've already done damage. Number 7. A critical person is someone who should be avoided. They should be avoided. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, saying things that don't need to be said to people that don't need to hear. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. See, it's hard to realize these people sometimes, because they'll usually start by saying nice things about you. Yeah, I want to share a prayer request with you because I know you'll pray for this person. Because I know you love the Lord and you want what's best for them, and you'll take their request to the throne. And you're like, wow, I didn't know I was that good. Said, then they start unloading on the other person. You know, flattery is stuff people say about you that I hate to tell you is not true. They get your confidence. You're the greatest person in the world, but the other person, they're not. By the way, you should be very careful about that, because you understand when they walk away from you, you will no longer be the best person in the world. To the next person they talk to, they're going to talk about you like they were talking about somebody else to you. Okay, you got to be very careful who your friends are. Negative people can be very, very hurtful. It's hard because they're good at drawing you in with their words. They're just as good at drawing you in with their praise as they are at tearing other people down with their criticism. Remember, many, many months ago, we gave you the difference between flattery and criticism. I think it's on your sheet. Flattery is something someone will say to your face they would never say behind your back. Oh, they'll tell you how wonderful you are and you're a blessing. Well, when they talk to somebody else, they would never say you're a blessing. Why? That's flattery. What is criticism? Criticism is something they would say behind your back they would never say to your face. By the way, if someone wants to be critical of somebody to you, just say, you know, why don't we pull that person in and why don't we all talk about it? You know, let me tell you about Brother Pineda. Well, here, let me text Brother Pineda and I'll bring him in and we'll talk about it together. You know? Well, you know, Brother Pineda's good with the music, but I just wish, whoa. Well, here, well, why don't you talk to Brother Pineda about that? You have his cell phone number? I'll text them, know you're calling. They don't want to hear that, do they? Oh, man, the bus ministry is great. They do a great job. But, you know, I just wish they would. Everybody's good at giving suggestions, and suggestions usually end up being criticisms. Be very careful. The critic draws you in flattery and levels others with criticism. And we ought to understand the reason we ought to avoid them, because you are in the crosshairs next time. They're going to say the same thing about you. And by the way, we're a church family. We need, look, families sometimes have disagreements. Families sometimes have issues. But what do? You fix them. You deal with it. Because you have that relationship, it's not something you see as fatal. It's something you see as, oh, that's just a little issue we have to deal with and get back on the same page together. But a critic or a gossip doesn't do that. They permanently drive a wedge. And by the way, you're not just hurting them. You're hurting their family. You're hurting others that will be affected by it. And sometimes something creeps in. And thank the Lord we haven't had anything like this. But it's this, then you start to get little factions. I'm on his side and we're on that side. And then you got little groups. And then it's just nothing but drama. Listen, we have too much stuff to do to fight the devil to be fighting each other. We have too many things we need to accomplish to spend energy going after one another. There's too many things going on. There's things that we have to do out there that are beyond our little squabbles, okay? And by the way, mark this down, someone who's critical doesn't do very much. Oh, they'll sit back and they'll tell you everything that's wrong and they'll tell you what needs to be fixed. Why aren't they out there fixing it? So I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about Brother Raul, you probably have a legitimate cause. If you want to talk about Brother Tony, why don't we go out soul winning and you can tell me all about Brother Tony? They're not going to do that. Tell you what, why don't you sit here and tell me about Brother Tony while you're writing a tithe check? Can I get a witness? We had a guy, sounds false. This is a true story. You can ask Brother, I think Sean Rogg. We had a guy that did not, he came to our church, and he was an old gentleman, and he got, he was getting more and more critical every week, and he would literally, he'd turn in a tithe, I don't know if it was a tithe check, but it was a decent amount, every week, and he would write what he disagreed with on the top of the check. Preaching wasn't good this week. And then it's got to where he was writing around the edges. And I'm thinking, if you want to be critical, why don't you be critical on a check? I'm okay with that. Okay? And by the way, the more critical you are, the more digits you ought to have. That's okay with me. But critical people usually want to tell you what's wrong with others. They want to tell you what's wrong with the church. They want to tell you what's wrong with the pastor, the music director, the youth director, the school, and all that nonsense, and yet they don't do anything. I don't give anything. I don't serve anywhere. Maybe that should tell you who they are. Okay? Let's look, and we're done. What happens outside the church is not going to affect the inside of the church if we're a close family. You know what destroys a church? It's stuff inside. That's right. It's when we fight with each other. If Satan attacks us, he's coming at us, but that'll kind of bond us together. You know what kills us? By the way, you know what's going to, if our country ever goes down, and it looks more and more like it's going to, we're imploding from the inside, not the outside. It's all the garbage we have inside, with just in all of it. And that's what happens in a church. And you know what it starts with? People being loose with their mouth and attacking one another. Let's be very, very careful about that. Let's use those same lips for encouragement. Let's pray.